you for being here tonight. I sure appreciate Brother Jim Gerard in getting our prayer needs and our requests out to our church. And as we have upgraded at Peoples with the Colomall, sometimes it backtracks and gives messages. I know y'all thought you might have had trailblazers last night or whatever. But just see Brother Jim and talk to him about your phone number where you can get your calls so that those calls can get to you. I sure appreciate it because during the day when I get a call from New Hope Baptist Church, it's important to me and I like hearing what's going on so that I can specifically pray. So if you have problems with your communication, with the devices, whatever the situation may be, please see Brother Jim tonight and he will get that taken care of, or just simply give him a call. That would be awful great for you to do. Tonight we are going to finish up in Proverbs 11, and we want to take a look at verse 21, and we'll go through verse 31. Solomon is writing here in these compare-contrast Proverbs, and he gets to 21. He says, though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished. What a great promise tonight. He says, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. Now, you could preach a whole sermon on this verse, this passage of Scripture. Though they join forces, Solomon was talking mainly about a confederation of countries, of peoples that would, for the common purpose, come in to invade Israel. This was the confederation that he was looking at. And I think about after the World Trade Center in 2001, that there was an axis of evil called by President George W. Bush of a confederation of countries that the U.S. Had high disdain for, had a huge watch on these various countries, Iran, Iraq, of course, which we went into, and then was North Korea. Today, we see a looming giant in the nations that we deal with today in China. We see the ungodly alliances that they're making with Russia. We see the ungodly alliances through nuclear treaties that they're making with Iran. Generals who are five-star generals in our armed forces said that it's only a matter of time before we will go through World War III. Only a matter of time. You can see the writing on the wall. It's going to happen. But know this, though they join forces, the wicked, they will not go unpunished. And now I want to hit close to home. I want to hit close to home. There is a dangerous global elitist propaganda that is being shoved down mine in your throat. And if you and I don't get on the bandwagon, then you and I are considered bigots. We are considered racist. We are considered homophobic and all these other pretty names that they want to coin us. And why do we see this happening? Why do we see, when we sat down last night to watch the NBA Finals, when you see couples on Google experiencing a vacation, type in the Google bar where to go on vacation, and you look at two men gleefully smiling at each other as they go down a roller coaster. As you look at two women camping out on the horizon, gleefully smiling at each other. Folks, this has inundated our mainstream media. It is being pushed and programmed in our kids' thought process where they don't see anything wrong with it. And it gets shoved down your throat every day. And so we watch. and we keep watching, and we become quote-unquote more tolerant. This is the Antichrist system that will be put in place because it's an all-inclusive system. An all-inclusive system to do what? Everybody needs to accept everybody. Why? Because they're going to follow one world leader. The stage is set. It's right before us. Let me tell you this, folks. And I've said this before. And I know it angers people. And I don't do this to anger you. I do it with a conviction of my heart. That though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished. We have a deadly biological weapon that was unleashed, that was paid by our tax dollars in the Wuhan province of China. And as it was unleashed, it has gone throughout the world, and many of our loved ones have gone on to be with the Lord. Many of our loved ones have suffered with this deadly COVID-19. And in this process, these same ones that took American tax dollars and paid for this to be created in a Wuhan lab are the same ones on your television set telling you to take their vaccination. Now, I want you to listen to me very clearly, because I know some of you in here have taken the vaccination. That's between you and the Lord. But I am going to disseminate the information given to me by the discernment of the Holy Spirit. And when our president tells the most major tech conglomerate in Facebook, when misinformation is spread, that person needs to be banned or eliminated from this media source. That is an infringement on your First Amendment rights. And if you don't believe people can be banned from Facebook, just ask my father-in-law. So, if you disagree with Bill Gates, or you disagree with Dr. Fauci, if you disagree with what they are telling us to do, then you are brandished as an outlaw, as a racist, as a problem. And so what we're going to do is we're going to create teams, and we're going to go door to door and knock on your door to encourage you to get vaccinated. When my age group has a 99.5% success rate when it comes to COVID-19. So I want you to listen to me tonight. When the federal government tells you something, you listen to who's telling you that. Is Dr. Fauci a Christian? Is Mr. Biden a Christian? Is Bill Gates a Christian? Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get back into the Word of God. Because I'm going to trust the Lord way more than I am the people on TV telling me to do what they're telling me to do. I got very aggravated last night watching the NBA Finals because several people had tested or were in safety protocol because they'd come into tracing with COVID-19. And Jalen Rose, who I really enjoyed him as a player, I enjoy his commentary. Jalen Rose says, you out there need to do the right thing and you need to go get vaccinated. Well, that may be the right thing for you, but it's not for me. And so when they tell me that, I have to discern of what the Holy Spirit is guiding me and my family to do. And so for me and my family, we continue in prayer, not listening to a federal government that wants to curb population, but we listen to Almighty God who will guide and discern us in the right direction. And I've had people tell me, you're a fool. So be it. I stand by the Word of God. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished. This wicked principalities and power that is seething in to our TV screens, into our doctor's offices, into our families, are coming in and they're clutching their claws into our people. And they're saying, we're taking you away from trusting in God into what? Trusting in man. That's been their plan all along. Go back to the Garden of Eden. So as we sit here tonight, and Dr. Carl Anderson wants to get on Facebook and say, look, guys, there's some side effects to these vaccines. Banned. If Dr. Judy Milakovitz wants to get on Facebook and say, there is some side effects to these vaccines, just be careful before you take it, banned. They are joining forces. Brother Larry Pruitt told me that Longview City Council voted to ban hate speech in the city of Longview. Now, when you go and define hate speech, what's that going to get to? When you speak out against idolaters and homosexuals and coveters and murderers in the Word of God, that's going to be hate speech, and they're going to come after the preachers. That's right down the road here in Longview, Texas. Right down the road here in Longview, Texas. When some preacher gets up there and preaches out of the book of Philemon, and Paul tells Philemon, you go back to Onesimus, you're a slave, you go back to your slave owner, I'm telling you folks, it's coming. It's going to be called hate speech. And it's right here in an East Texas city, just a 45-minute drive away. Guys, I'm afraid, I really am, that there's even us that have been saved by Jesus Christ, that are blinded by the darkness and the powers of the evil one that are out there. That's why you and I need to stay in prayer. We need to stay in the Word of God. And we need to use the gift of discernment that He has given us by the Holy Spirit. The writing is on the wall. Accept everything. Do everything the government tells you to do. Amazon.com, what's his name? Jeff what? Bezos? Amazon.com, yeah. You can buy Hitler's Mein Kampf on there and tell you how to be a great communist. But you can't buy any books that tell you, don't take that vaccine. There's something wrong with this picture. Even if you're pro-vaccine, you would say, well, wait a minute. There's something wrong with this picture. There's something wrong with this. The forces of evil have gathered, and they are joining together. But praise God, there is comfort in His Word, knowing this, they will not go unpunished. They will not. Bill Gates will answer. Joe Biden will answer. These people, Mark Zuckerberg, will answer. They will answer. The wicked will not go unpunished, but praise God, the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. The posterity is your generation. The seed that has been passed on will be delivered. I preach this from the pulpit tonight, not for Michael Mize's sake, because I got four beautiful daughters that are my seed, my posterity, and I want them to be delivered from the evil that's in this world to the greatness of eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. That's what I want. What about you? Or do you say, oh no, well, if we're going to go to school this year and we're going to register for pre-K, we might as well get Macy vaccinated. What? It sickens my stomach to see what is happening. It sickens my stomach to see this being forced on people. And you and I that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is time for us to take a stand for the posterity of our seed. The posterity of the righteous to be delivered. Why? Because our citizenship's not here. Praise God, our citizenship's in heaven. And let me tell you about heaven. There won't be any vaccines in heaven. Let me tell you about heaven. You won't get sick in heaven. Let me tell you about heaven. You won't be in this old body in heaven. Praise God, you'll have a new body and a new life, and we'll live eternally with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 22. This is so applicable for today. As a ring of gold and a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Wow. I knew I was going to get in trouble on verse 21. I'm really going to get in trouble right now. A ring of gold and a swine's snout. The Jews, you all know this. You've been taught this since you were in Bible school. The Jews hated pigs. And I didn't know this, but I was listening to a preacher preach on the Jewish hatred for pigs. Pigs and dogs from Matthew chapter 7. Judge not, lest you be judged. That's what all the liberals like to tell us. But then you go down there to verse 6, and he says, don't cast your pearls before who? The swine, right? Okay? So I want you to listen to this tonight. Jewish people hate pigs. And it's not because the book of Leviticus tells them to not eat it. It's because pigs were like these wild hogs that we have here. They rummaged the streets. If you did not feed them, they would turn on you. They were detestable animals, powerful animals, vicious animals. And Solomon says this spot on. He says, as a ring of gold and a swine's snout. How ridiculous would it be to see a ring of gold? And believe it or not, in Solomon's day, that was a sign of beauty. Today, not for me. Some people wear it. I don't know. A ring of gold and a swine's snout. So is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Boy, Solomon knew a lot about that, didn't he? Man, that guy, he knew about women. Let's just face it. And he says this, so is a lovely woman. This lovely woman means somebody that is beautiful, somebody that is attractive. He said it's just like a pig running around with a nose ring in is a lovely woman, a beautiful woman that lacks discretion. Discretion in the Hebrew means three things. Number one, it means a woman who lacks taste. Lacks taste. Can I just say this? I'm just going to be honest tonight. If it offends you, if it hurts your feelings, so be it. It's one thing to see these lovely, attractive ladies walk in. And they walk in. They're not wearing any clothes hardly. And they got tattoos all up and down their bodies. Totally lacking discretion. Totally lacking discretion. And then you start getting a closer look. Not because you want to, but because they're flaunting it. And they flaunt these tattoos to you, men and women, and you're looking there, looking at the tattoos, and some of them are some of the most ungodly tattoos that they throw out there. This woman that is lovely, this woman that is attractive, she has completely lost all taste. Are y'all with me tonight? Don't hear many amens. Number two. A lovely woman, a beautiful woman, is somebody who lacks discretion. They have lacked perception. 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 They have lacked perception of what people think about them. They have lacked perception that they have been wonderfully and fearfully made by God. They have lacked perception in who they are in Christ. They lack perception that they are a beautiful woman. They lack this perception. This stupid YouTube, another one of the wicked that's joining forces, okay? YouTube. They got a lot of good stuff on YouTube, but I tell you what, they got a lot of filth on YouTube. And some of those videos that get plugged into your feed and you sit there and what? All these girls are living with their boyfriend. And they wear these tight pants and they don't hardly wear any clothes and they tell their boyfriends to come do this and come that. And here it is, all this perception that they have based everything on how they are made about what their guy thinks about them. I got so aggravated the other night, I was scrolling through there and I seen this little short is what they're calling them. In this little short, there's this couple that's boyfriend and girlfriend. They live together. They're flaunting it out here on the video. And as they're doing that, the boyfriend has made this birthday cake for his girlfriend. And she starts singing about it being her birthday. And she takes some icing. And I know a lot of them do it just to get likes. I understand that. But then she took the icing and she licked it. Then she took the icing and smeared it on his face. And he called her a derogatory word. And if my wife, my little daughter's husbands or boyfriends ever call them this derogatory word, you're going to have to come bail me out of jail. Then this is what, listen, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but this is what this culture, this rap culture, This is what they teach the men to call the girls. I don't know if y'all know that or not, but it's the truth. The guys at school call the girls this word, a derogatory word. And then when she did that, he called her that name, he takes the whole chocolate cake with the blue icing and he slams it right in her face. Now, I know they probably made this video so that everybody would laugh, and get a kick out of it. But I'm going to tell you what a joke that a woman who is lovely lacks discretion. Last but not least, that Hebrew word means not only taste, perception, but it also means intelligence. And I'm just going to be truthful with you tonight. There's a bunch of dumb girls running around. Bunch of dumb girls, dumb guys too. But they lack intelligence. This is the equivalent of a pig running around with a nose ring to a lovely, beautiful girl, a beautiful woman that lacks discretion. Solomon knew what he was talking about. Amen. Verse 23, the desire of the righteous is only good. You know why? Because we're controlled by Christ. And when you're controlled by Christ, you will strive for goodness. If you're not controlled by Christ, you will want to wreck everything that comes into your path. You'll wreck your family. You'll wreck your church. You'll wreck your co-workers. You'll wreck everybody around you because the desire of you is wicked. But the desire of righteous, listen to this, church, is only good. It's only good. So you and I here tonight who are righteous, not by what we have done, because we've all fallen short, we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, but praise God what He's done for us at the cross. Watch this. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. The expectation of the wicked is only wrath. Why? Because they are controlled by the flesh, and they are controlled by principalities and powers that you and I cannot see, demons, demonic forces that are out there. Yes, they do possess. Yes, they do oppress people in the world today. James 4:3 says, you ask and do not receive. Why don't you receive? Why you ask the Lord for in prayers? Let me tell you why. Because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Your own pleasures. When it is about you, and when you pray for your will to be done over His will to be done, your prayers will not be answered. Will not be answered. Verse 24. Now we get into giving. This is where my heart needs to understand. There is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. There is a basic premise behind this, that the one who gives will see an increase. The one who gives will see an increase. So you here tonight and say, I'm not giving to that building fund offer. You're going to miss out on a blessing. You're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on a blessing. There is people here tonight who scatters, and yet it increases more. They give. They give to this. They give to that. They give this. They scatter. They give. Why? Because they're called to give. Y'all know Mr. Letourneau. My goodness. The Lord put on his heart not to tithe 10%, but to give 90%. And look how much he was blessed. Wow. I could go starting here and go all the way up and down every pew, and somebody could stand up and say, let me tell you what the Lord's done for me and my family. Let me tell you what the Lord's done for me at this church. Let me tell you, because we gave, this is what happened to us. I have heard so many incredible testimonies from people who give. But people who don't give, Solomon says there is one who withholds. He withholds more than is right. He withholds more than is right. And what is it leading to? It leads him to poverty. Absolute poverty. Why? because they have trusted in their riches. And let me tell you where the worst of all poverty is. It is in the depths of hell. So many people has made money their master, money their God, and that have made money their Lord. And in the depths of hell, there is great poverty. Lloyd Sullivan told me a long time ago, he said he's never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. That's the truth. There's not one of us in here that can carry it with us. Why don't you save your money, Michael? Why don't you save your money for a rainy day? Well, I'm here to tell you, tomorrow could be that rainy day. It very well could be. But tomorrow the Lord may carry me home. I want to be a faithful and good steward of what He's given to me. It is a blessing to give. Verse 25, he goes on with this. He says, the generous soul will be made rich. The person who gives receives more in return. Solomon goes on, he says, he who waters will also be watered himself. Isn't that true? He who waters will also be watered himself. I can't think of how many lunches I've bought for people over the years. But watch this. I've had so many lunches bought for me in return. He who waters will be watered himself. The generous soul will be made rich. The generous soul, the one who gives, will be made rich. Praise God for that tonight. We're going to get to this verse here on the next one, but everybody knows Paul quoted Jesus, even though we don't find this quote in the Gospels. Paul quoted him in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, so Jesus obviously said this. John said there were many acts, there were many words that couldn't even be contained in the Bible of what Jesus did. And Paul said that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Exactly. Verse 26. The people will curse him who withholds grain. This is the farmer that has a great harvest. He withholds the grain. He keeps it from the people. But there will be a blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. Who sells it. Psalm 112 and 9 says, he who is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. Brother Reed Macklin, I miss the good old days. I know he does too. When his daddy would drive up and down this road with a back end full of produce and give to these widow ladies in the New Hope community. People that grew their own stuff in the garden, harvested their own stuff in the garden, and took what they had and gave it to the community. Oh, New Hope Baptist Church, if we could go back to those days. It was a simpler time when you wasn't glued to a technological device. But you sat out over here in a great-grandmother's porch swing and swung and visited with people as they come by, made relationships with people, laughed, cried, prayed. Those good old ripe tomatoes coming right off the vine, right to your hands being cut in that kitchen. And there was something special about those days. I miss those days. How about you, folks? How about you? The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. Verse 27, he who earnestly seeks good finds favor. This Hebrew phrase, earnestly seeks good, is a connotation of rising early. I know that there's many of you in here that like to get up early. This is the same connotation here in verse 27, that he who earnestly seeks good finds favor. That when the good, when the righteous rise and seeks good, they will find favor. This favor is the word goodwill or acceptance. They'll find goodwill, they'll find acceptance. But watch this, trouble will come to him who seeks evil. Trouble will come to him who seeks evil. Many of you remember that Western Lonesome Dove. Jake Spoon was a Texas Ranger, but he got to riding with horse thieves. And Woodrow and Gus said, you're going to run with the outlaws, you're going to die like the outlaws. You who run to trouble, it will come to you for those who seek evil. For those who seek evil. I know we're being recorded tonight, so there's some things that I can't say, but I'm going to say that somebody sent me a deal that there is a Hitler, communist, fascist hate group right here in Wood County. As a matter of fact, they have property only a couple of miles from here. And in that property, when I read their document, their manifesto, I'll just be honest with you, it's downright scary. They're being watched like you wouldn't believe. And it's right here under our noses. These folks have stockpiled weapons, and they have an agenda. And I read their agenda. And when I read that agenda, the agenda starts with Luciferian documents. Yes, you heard me correctly. Luciferian documents. Luciferian documents goes all the way back to not only are they supporters of Hitler, but they are supporters of the devil. They're satanic. And they're right here in our community, right under our noses. And if you don't believe me, come ask me after the service. I'll show you right where it's at. I went out there the other day and just wanted to see it for myself. Because I just wanted to see it. And I want to tell you, folks, if you hadn't driven around our county in a while, maybe you should. Because there's things that are moving in here that are the persona of evil. But trouble will come to those who seek evil. And one of these days, those people, what did the Bible say? That though they join forces, they will not go unpunished. Unpunished. Verse 28 says, he who trusts in riches will fall. Did you know that there's some people? There may be some people in here, they trust only in the stock market. They get up every day and they see what their stocks have done. Because that's where their trust is. Their trust is in their 401k. Their trust is in their retirement. Their trust is in their bank account. Can you believe this? And I say this sarcastically. That there are people measure who they are by how much money they have in their savings account. Do you know that? Let me tell you what the Bible says about those people. He who trusts in the riches, you will fall. You will fall. I don't know if y'all can see this coming with all the evil forces joining together. This may sound like a bad movie script, but it's really happening. And what else is happening? When you see the inflation in our country that is going on right now, there is going to come an economic collapse. Mark my word. And when it does, you say, well, the market always recovers. I'm here to tell you today, this thing's about to bottom out. You can't keep printing money. It's got to have a standard based on it. And they have blown that. They have blown mine and your money to the gazoo. And it's not mine and your money, it's God's. This country will answer for the debt that we're in. He who trusts in his riches will fall. Oh, I love this verse. But the righteous, in this pretty language, will flourish like foliage. Will flourish like foliage. I'm on a Western kick. I was watching the outlaw Josie Wells, Clint Eastwood, the other day, and Granny gets them down there to where her son had been killed. They had their little ranch down there, and they ride up down there, and they look, and while they look, they see those pretty, beautiful aspens in bloom, and their leaves are like gold. I love Colorado. Can I get an amen? I want to go up there in the fall when the leaves change so I can just see that for myself. I just want to see that for myself. And man, when I looked at that breathtaking view of that little hacienda there, and man, they're going to make their little home there, their little community there. I think about you and I who are righteous, not because of who we are, but because of who God is. What does He cause us to do? He causes us to flourish like foliage. It means that we are a tree with a strong root system that has green, beautiful leaves. Isn't that awesome? So if you're counting on I would pull out some money out of my wallet, but I don't have any. If you're counting on this type of green, you're going to fall. But if you're counting on His green, He'll flourish you like foliage. You'll be a beautiful tree with roots firmly planted by the river, with leaves that are in bloom year round. Praise God tonight for His grace. Look at verse 29. Uh-oh, now we're getting personal. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be the servant to the wise of heart. The wise of heart. I don't want anybody in here to take this the wrong way, because I've got so much work to do in my own home. Love your kids. Love your grandkids. Invest in them. They make decisions when they get older that do not make us proud. There are families in here tonight that hurt because of decisions that your sons and daughters have made. And you say, well, Michael, I had a brother tell me this. It's not my fault that they turned out this way. Okay, I got you. But I'm going to tell you what God has done for me and Jacqueline. He has entrusted us with these four little girls. And it is our job as parents to guide them in a godly way. I don't need to leave it up to the church. I sure don't need to leave it up to the school. I sure don't need to leave it up to YouTube. I don't need to leave it up to Mama and Granddaddy or Papa and Nanny. Even though they help us tremendously, those kids are our kids. And it is our job to bring them up in the ways of the Lord. Now, do they go astray? Sure they do. But men, and Solomon speaking to us here, remember, ladies, I told you I'd get to us. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind. That verbiage there, troubles his own house, means three things again in the Hebrew. It means those that create a disturbing household. A disturbing household. And I'm here to tell you today that there are disturbing households. And that leadership falls solely on the husband, on the father. So when that disturbing household is made, what do you think it does for the kids? When those kids, Ashley Gilbreth was telling Jacqueline and I this week, we got kids from foster care that come to me, and you wouldn't believe the words they said about me. That they called me. Well, where did they learn this from? Not from Ashley and Michael. They learned that from the disturbing environment that they were in. And there are disturbing households all around this community. You may have grown up in one. You may be a part of one now. Disturbing household. It amazes me how some of these dads talk to their kids. And you think about why the kids act that way. And then you see their parents. It also means an afflicted household where there is constant strife, where there is constant turmoil, where there is drama going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the man should be able to rein in the woman and say, look, save the drama for your mama. We're not having this in my house. I'm thankful. My dad ruled our house with an iron fist. And if he didn't, me and my brother may be in Huntsville today. Maybe not Cody, but I sure would have. The man of the house can disturb the house. The man of the house can afflict the house. And then I've also seen this, and I've seen it right here in our church years ago. The man of the house can use bad management in leading the house. Oh, little Susie, you got a cough today? Let's stay home from church. So the whole family stays home from church. Oh, next Sunday, well, we're going to go to the ballpark. We don't need to worry about church. Let's go to the ballpark. Okay, two Sundays missed in a row. No Wednesday nights. No spiritual nourishment. Then we get to the next Sunday. Oh, well, you know, we stayed up really late last night because that cool movie Transformers had come out to the theater, and we went as a family to watch that. So now Transformers has become more important than spiritual nourishment from the Word of God. So we've missed 3 weeks of church. And so this dad that has badly managed his house, he's got kids that are out of church. He's got grandkids that are out of church because he did not do what he was called to do as a man of God. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We'll serve the Lord. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind. The Hebrew euphemism there is he will inherit nothing. He'll inherit nothing. And I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings here tonight. Parents get old and they wonder, why don't my kids come to see me? This is a proverb. Parents get old and they wonder, well, my kids don't have anything to do with me. Parents get old and they wonder, my house sure is lonely. Nobody ever comes to see me. You need to think back. And you need to think, what did I do? Every one of us in here, dads, we can improve. Every one of us in here, dads, we can do better. And you say, well, Michael, they can't let the past be the past. That's where you need to be the man, and you need to go talk to them and say, look, I'm sorry if I ever offended you. I'm sorry if I ever done you wrong. But I'm asking you here today to forgive me of not being the man that I should have been in this house. And I would love to see our relationship restored. And I'm going to tell you something. It is unique. It is something only supernaturally that God can do when He restores families together. And it is something that will bring tears to your eyes when God reconciles a family. It's special. I'm not asking anybody to beat themselves up over this. I'm just telling you, this proverb says, he who troubles his own house inherits nothing. Inherits the wind. You can't catch the wind. And look at what happens next. The fool will be servant to the wise of heart. The fool will be servant to the wise of heart. That means that they will reap what they sow for the rest of their life. They'll reap what they sow for the rest of their life. The fool will be working for the wise. They will be working for the servant, will be the servant to the wise of heart, somebody of wisdom, somebody of knowledge for the rest of their life. Verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And everybody said amen. That's a great example of the book of Proverbs. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. I don't know about you, but I like coming to church and seeing the fruit of the Spirit. I like seeing love. I like seeing joy. I like seeing people practice patience. I like people seeing kindness. I like seeing people with self-control. It amazes me. This is unique. I enjoy going to our church fellowships at dinner time and seeing who's first in line. Fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And now we get to a portion of Scripture that has been misinterpreted. Let's take it into context tonight. And he who wins souls is wise. He who wins souls is wise. Listen, salvation does not come from you or I. Does not. Cannot. Comes from God the Father through His Son Jesus Christ, convicted in the trespasses and the death of our sin through the Holy Spirit. He who wins souls is wise. This Hebrew portion of Scripture simply means this: he who is influenced by godly wisdom. Influenced by godly wisdom. I'm glad I've had men and women in my life that showed me what it meant to live by godly wisdom. Aren't you? I think about people I've had in my life. I think about Brother Fred that loved me as my pastor. I refer to him as my pastor. He loved me as he was my pastor, and he loves me, and he was somebody that influenced me. A Bible teacher like Harry Huff that sat down and said, "This is how you study the Bible. This is how you exposit God's Word." People that invested in me and loved me. Those are the ones. He who wins souls is wise. Those that influence others by godly wisdom. Let me ask you a question tonight, church. Are you investing in somebody's life tonight? He who wins souls is wise. There is a New Testament application to this. Many preachers like to use. Jesus said in Luke 5:10, "Don't be afraid, for now you will be fishers of men." Fishers of men. So we're to do what? Brennan gave us a great exhortation today. We may not know very much, but we can go share. We may know a whole lot, we can go share. But when we share, always know this: God will get the increase. Bottom line. Bottom line. Verse 31, "If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner?" Wow. Let's look at this for just 1 second, if we may. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth. You know, it is tough being a follower of Christ. It's tough. But I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. He has protected me. He has blessed me. He has given me way more than this wretched sinner ever deserves. He has given me love unconditionally. When no one else could love this sinner, He does. And He has forgiven me of all my sin. The sin that I did when I was born, the sin that I talked about this morning 20 years ago, the sin that I may commit right now, and the sin that I'm going to do 20 years down the line, He has forgiven me of that sin. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth. Oh, church, haven't we been recompensed? He has poured His mercy and grace upon us. Well, here's a promise. How much more the ungodly and the sinner? How much more the ungodly and the sinner? I told you this morning the worst thing for somebody to live in this world without is somebody that is without hope. Without hope. And there's only one hope. And y'all know that that's Jesus. But the ungodly and the sinner, they're void of this. I know people today that could care absolutely less if they live tomorrow. Isn't that sad? I know people today that base everything that happens on them on a four-letter word that ought to be a cuss word called luck. I know people today that are always complaining because they're ungodly and they're a sinner. They're always complaining. They gripe and moan about everything. There are people today that hate. Aren't we seeing that in our society? They absolutely hate because they're ungodly and they're a sinner. They have bitterness in their heart. That's what they'll recompense on the earth. But can I tell you real quick before we close about the rewards that are coming for the righteous in heaven? There's five of them. Dr. Erwin Lutzer of Moody Bible Church wrote an outstanding book about the imperishable crowns that you and I will receive when we come into glory. The crown that is imperishable, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, and the crown of life. I preached a sermon on every one of these crowns. Those are the crowns that you and I as Christians that could receive in heaven. But let me tell you what waits eternally for the ungodly and the sinner. Jesus says that there is a place where the worm never rots. He says that there is a place that is full of weeping and gnashing of teeth. He says that there is a place that is filled with unrighteous cowards. He says that there is a place that is a lake of fire. And he says that there is a place of eternal torment. And you who are ungodly and you who are a sinner tonight, that will be your eternity. My prayer is tonight, God opened your heart. God opened your eyes. God opened your mind. That eternity is forever. It's forever. And the person that you need the most is Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Your word is sharp as a two-edged sword. Lord, as it has convicted my heart, Lord, I pray that it has convicted others here tonight as well. Lord, there are so many areas in our life that we need to work on. And Lord, I thank you that in your sovereignty, I thank you that in your wisdom, I thank you through your precious word that you, as the potter, take the clay and shape us for your glory. Praise you for that tonight, Lord. Lord, I ask you to be with our church. I thank you for your Holy Spirit moving in our church. Lord, we thank you for the ones that are coming to be a part of this local church. And Lord, my prayer is that we will be a lighthouse that sings praises to you for your glory, that preaches the divine truth expositorily, verse by verse, for your divine glory, that yields not for the will of man, but yields for the will of God. Lord, tonight, may New Hope Baptist Church be a blessing for you. We love you. We praise you. We ask for harmony. We ask for one accord in this business that needs to be done in your local church. Not for the local church, but Lord, for the kingdom of God. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Don't forget the midweek services, the services that are coming up. Excited about them. You that are our guests tonight, if you would like to be dismissed, or even our members that are like, you know what?